This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR Football Nation Radio. Oh, this is the part of the day where I get to wave at the screen. It reminds me of my days in television.
Did you wave at the screen in television?
No, we were never allowed to do that. Welcome to the Thursday night program. George Denikian along with Louise Taffer. FNR, Thursday nights, we get to talk about football. In fact, we get to talk about football 24/7 on Football Nation Radio because that's what it was designed to do. And as always, our lines are open, so make sure you give us a call on any subject, 0399 44 9999. As usual, as you can see, we are streaming live on Facebook, Miss Louise. We're also on our FNR app, if you would like to just press go. And again, if you want to check out our website, we're there as well. Later tonight, you can join, around about 8 o'clock, you can join Josh Parrish and Chris Turpos on the Lions Den. It's the official Preston Lions club show. It's unique. It gets an opportunity to get behind the scenes, talk to players, talk to the women's team, talk to their latest guests, and they even get occasionally to go down history lane, you know, and talk to some of the great legends of the club from the past. And some of the stories have been worth the listen to. So get the opportunity, find some time. It's the Lions show, the Preston Lions club show. Although they're in State League One, they've been shrewd. Unlike many other clubs, these guys have got on, found themselves some sponsors, and the program's called The Lions Den. And tonight, I think their special guest is Dutch star Jip Bartels and club legend Peter Overton, who you knew how to score a goal. On the program tonight, we'll also be reviewing, in fact, let's do it now. The Women's World Cup continues in France. Of course, we're still in that glow of the Matildas' win. They took on a pretty feisty and attacking and big, strong Jamaica team.
How amazing was Kadisha Shaw?
What about Carter, who came on in the second half? I'll tell you what, people should understand one thing. This Jamaica side, which was sponsored by Bob Marley's daughter, and it's shameful that the Confederation or the Federation in Jamaica or the West Indies didn't have the courage of its convictions and put up this team and support them. It's marvellous that someone has come up who can, and Bob Marley's name, of course, is just legendary in that part of the world. Fantastic to see them come together. Yes, they are and were a little naive in some instances, but let me tell you, they are going to be a pretty impressive football side over the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Yes, and I can tell you that Kadisha Shaw in particular, their number 11, is going to be playing for Bordeaux next season. So she'll be in the French top flight for the women's competition.
And who scored that magical goal for Jamaica?
It was Havana Solion.
Yeah, Solion. And she got that beautiful pass, rounded the keeper.
I
thought Lydia was just a fraction late coming up. But she probably didn't expect the ball to come there.
No, because that was Australia's weakness. So
and has been.
Transition moments. Van Egmond lost the ball to Kadisha in the mid. Kadisha ran forward.
Beautiful pass. Elegant
put
pass.
It through.
Beautifully weighted and allowed
Havana rounded
to come in there and just pick it up. And she stayed poised, and when you consider they haven't had that much experience, she did wonderfully well to finish it. Mind you, went through three sets of legs. You would have thought, oh, dear.
Caribbean history. Jamaica's first ever World Cup goal. First ever World Cup.
Yep, and more excitedly, there have been some amazing results and matches overnight.
Yes.
Why don't you take us through it, Ms. Louise?
Would you believe Scotland...
Yeah.
Have exited the Women's World Cup?
In the most amazing fashion.
I couldn't
believe
it.
Traumatic. You know, the Scots, men and women now, can claim this bit of history. If you're going to go out of the World Cup and you're going to do it in the most despairingly sad way, the Scots have actually got it by the proverbial.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's quite remarkable. I've got to sit there and make sure that I turn off all my notifications because this is what happens when you get on radio. You've got to,
you should know by now,
I should
George.
Know,
we've been doing
I?
This for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you every
well,
time.
Not quite
before
2 years,
we get on.
But we're getting close. We're getting close.
Coming up to our second anniversary.
Oh.
Anyway, Scotland
yep.
were 3 goals up.
Yep.
And then conceded. Conceded 3 more goals to exit the tournament. Now, it wasn't, as you say, it wasn't in the best fashion because what happened was there was an awful tackle inside the penalty box.
Player got sent off.
They awarded that. And Scotland's goalkeeper actually saved it, remarkably. But this is the second time this has happened in 2 days now. The goalkeeper has come off her line.
So they had to retake the penalty.
So they had to retake it.
And can I tell you?
And the Argentinian
I've
scored.
Got to say that for too long, we've allowed goalkeeper after goalkeeper after goalkeeper. And this is a goalkeeper talking, right?
I know.
Do the wrong thing. They jump ahead of the game. Try and anticipate where the ball's going to go. And they leap off the line, which is illegal. And I don't care if they retake it because all the goalkeepers who've got into terribly bad habits have got to wake up to themselves and realise that the only way you can move is along the line, not forward. And there's an English goalkeeper who plays in the EPL. I think I know he plays for... the Toffees. He has an unusual style about him. And can I just say now, I'll state it right up here and now. The next penalty he takes, again, he'll be penalised because if anybody does the wrong thing, it's him. He leaps forward.
Too early.
A fraction early, and he's almost a yard on the goal kicker, which to me is against the spirit. And as a former referee over here would say retake that again because in the new parlance they've now set the rules and the parameters and you can't jump forward, you've got to jump sideways.
You can't beat VAR. That is simply what happened in this game.
Well, they didn't have VAR before.
You would have seen.
You would have thought a linesman and a referee would be able to sort it out. But the problem is they're loath to do it. Most of them feel that... we've awarded you a penalty, you should be able to put it away.
Mm.
But if keepers cheat, it can come back. And this is what happens.
And
they're going to be found out.
But I don't think it's cheating.
It is cheating. Don't start. It's not gamesmanship. It's not playing. It's not this, that, and the other.
No, but isn't it reaction?
No.
You want that quick reaction?
You'll hear people say, oh, he's great gamesmanship. He's outmaneuvered. He's outthought. He's out, he's shaken... the striker. I'll put it to you straight out here and now, it's against the game, against the spirit of the game. If we're playing properly, and I don't believe in the so-called dark arts. They've been out there for a lifetime, and there are Spanish goalkeepers, there are Italian goalkeepers, there are Polish goalkeepers who would put the ball under their arm there and wait to intimidate the kicker. Listen, it's 21st century stuff. Camera's there. We're all watching. Put the ball down. Get back to your line and let the man take it or the woman take it. In this case, retaken. It was scored, wasn't it?
It was.
End of story.
Take a listen to the highlights.
It's a poor clearance. Here's Bonsegundo. Oh, good effort. And it's in. Argentina have scored again. They will not lie down. Oh, now then, referee says play on, and the referee goes to her review area, and here's the decision. Penalty, Argentina, and maybe put out Scotland. No, Alexander with a save. Lee Alexander with a save of her career. But the penalty is going to be retaken. Bonsegundo has possible redemption here for Argentina. And to break Scotland's hearts, simply remarkable. One of the great games at the FIFA Women's World Cup is level. It's finished at the Parc des Princes in Paris. Scotland 3, Argentina 3.
With thanks to Optus Sport for that audio. George, that is, as I said, for the third match running, Scotland have conceded a penalty that cost them both times.
All I can say is there is another element to this whole renewal of the rules, or a refreshing review of the rules and the way it's been applied. The commentators will have to hold on to their commentary until they can see something reasonable and fair, because there's nothing worse than losing your voice because you've just got so excited about an extraordinary goal only to have it called back.
And it was the same with the celebrations. The Scots were celebrating. Well, they were just over the moon. Look, and then...
It's going to happen.
And then the referee was like, I'm going over to check the VAR, and that she did. And
you know, all I know is that VAR's here to stay. So we better get used to it real quick. Okay, what are the other results that were... By the way, that game was fantastic to watch. Okay?
Oh, wasn't it?
Yeah, as long as you weren't a Scot.
Sorry to all the Scottish people listening.
Yes.
Well, England actually now face a favourable knockout round draw after they defeated Japan 2-0 on the night. Thank you.
Well, that's Japan struggling to that. Here's Ellen White! That should wrap it up for England. It's the second goal of the game. And England, in simple fashion, really have carved open Japan. A lovely ball forward once again.
That's the Lionesses, huh? Just getting up there, a couple of goals. And upsetting the Japanese. Did you pick that result?
Yeah, I did, because the Japanese team that they've got out at the moment at the Women's World Cup is a more developmental team. They're looking towards the Olympics next year.
Always important that you see
a lot of players.
Associations and confederations that have vision, and they're building for the next big challenge.
Trivia.
Go for it.
How many players do you think the Japanese have blooded at this Women's World Cup?
22.
No, less.
14.
Higher.
17.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Three Brother. Times proves it, yeah.
17 players they've...
Do you know who would have known that straight out?
Who?
An old workmate of mine at SBS, a guy called Andy Pascalides. He would have sat there and he would have gone, Danikian, 17, mate. What's this rubbish 24? Yeah. He would have known. Pity we don't get a chance to talk to him as often as we should.
And pity he's not on the line now.
Is he on the line? Is he running in? Hey, Pascalides, how are you, mate?
So George. Yes, how are we going, gang?
Louise Taffer is always excited when she gets a chance to talk to television royalty. Andrew, you're doing some marvellous stuff behind the scenes, and we should talk about a fantastic event that I cannot believe now. Just how much work you've put in behind the scenes and just who you've managed to cajole, excite and get to join us on the 29th of June.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. It's a veritable mate, who's who of football, mate.
George, firstly, thank you to your good self for putting your hand up to come up and MC. And you know what I'm like. I'll be running around like a crazy guy on the floor grabbing people.
Now, listen, all I want to know is, will you be wearing the referee's outfit?
No.
Will you have any cards in your pocket?
No.
And
no,
I can provide the second microphone for you, no problem.
But we... Look, I'll give it away, but we will have a referee on stage.
Oh, we will?
If I'm out of line or even you're out of line, the yellow and red card, we do not want to go to VAR. That takes too much time.
Oh, God. What have you made of the Women's World Cup? Louise has been over the moon. She loves this competition. She loves the fact that the women are getting their chance and their time in the sun. And there have been some fantastic games, really wonderful games.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you just talked about Japan. Watch that game on the highlights, you know, the mini games that Optus spit out. And they're good if you're not up watching it live. But you're probably like me, you like to watch it live.
Well, you get a real sense of what's going on.
But you also get to feel the story, like story with the Scotland Argentina game today. No one expected that Scotland had a three-goal lead.
Andy's felt the pain of all those matches in the past. He can tell you a few stories.
You know what? It's be up three and then to cop goals late in the game like they did and to miss out progressing. It's sad because you talk about Scotland and the Scottish fans, when they do get that rare chance to play in a men's World Cup or a women's World Cup in this case, they add so much to the atmosphere and passion. And we all know we've had so many great Scottish players come out to our country and end up settling and staying, particularly in Melbourne.
We'll have a few, won't we, on the 29th?
Look, I've got great news for you. Your timing's perfect.
Tell me.
Just reconfirmed Manny Galagotis, who's coming.
Yes.
Former Port and Gippsland Falcons and lovely guy.
Super guy. We had him on the Pioneer, so we know the story. And by the way, he also knows how to train horses. He and his brother's doing a pretty good job. If the footballers can't get the footballers to run as fast as the horses, but it's really exciting to watch.
But good old Manny is looking after Frank Arrock. Frank is travelling his last trip to Australia.
So Frank's going to be here.
Yeah, Frank is coming. So imagine in that room you'll have, Socceroo coaches. Current coach Graham Arnold will be there. He's offering a one-hour mentoring or coaching session as an auction item, which is fantastic. But Rasic will be there, our first World Cup coach.
Raleigh Rasic.
Les Scheinflug will be there.
Superstar.
Charlie Yankos,
Prague player.
Graham Arnold, Craig Foster, Slater, Catholis, Oller and Shaw. Ivanovic is coming from Adelaide.
Yeah, Adelaide
Alan
City.
Alan Portier, Manus Lamont from Perth, David Ratcliffe.
Manus Lamont, the Flash.
Oh, it's
remember the Flash?
Paul Ocon.
Gee. Paolo
Mariani,
will be there, huh?
Oh, Chipperfield, McKenna.
Just tell me Charlie Yankos will be there and I'll be happy.
He's there, mate.
That's fantastic. He's a star. Absolute star. Is Trixie Tagg coming?
Yes, Trixie Tagg is coming. Cindy Hayden is coming. So we've got a couple of great pioneers of women's football.
That's right.
I remember travelling with Cindy, playing in the National Indoor Championships in 1982 in Broken Hill.
Get out of here.
And I saw this young Cindy Hayden playing. I thought, what a talent. No surprise she went on to play for the Matildas. But a great night to reflect, George. A great night to reflect on a golden period of the game in our history here in Australia.
And you'll also have Sharon Warren, so it'll be extra special because the one name that we'll hear time and time again, other than Les, will be Johnny Warren, will we not?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you think of those days. Look, we were there. So we were at that coalface when it all began. The coverage you were there for, I came in 84. That was when I first started.
Yep. Do you remember when we first met?
I used to sit there thinking, oh, my God, you know, watching you on TV in 1980, not realising going to radio school that one day I'd actually work in the same building. And then I'd see you on Sundays come back from covering a game. And I thought, this guy works Monday to Friday.
That's right.
He's out there on weekend covering NSL games and then coming back. And people don't realise back then you'd have to come back, look at all the footage, write your script, voice it, edit it, and try and get home by midnight and then come back the next day.
Mate, they were the great days. But listen, we've got to mention just where it's happening and should people want to join us. I think you've got a few tickets left, have you not?
I do. I've got about 15 left. I've just got a message now for Peter Scott. God, Andy, I wish I wasn't 20,000 kilometres away. I'd love to be there.
Okay, so tell us, the date we know, it's the June the 29th. It's happening in Sydney. Which club have we decided to make it happen?
It's at Canterbury Hilson Park, Russell. They look after my charity, Heartbeat of Football. They give me office space, and they've been fantastic.
And the funds we raise on the night will go to Heartbeat for Football, won't they?
Yeah. So, you know, with our heart health testing is one thing that we really work on. And we're seeing results this year that are scaring me a little bit because in our first lots of testing, at least 48 to 52% at different grounds of people tested have been told they must go and see their GP and get even further checks. So we're not as healthy as we might think we are. And credit to the Victorian government and New South Wales government in recent times, between them collectively, almost $8 million has been spent on putting defibrillators out there, creating awareness and getting people to get themselves checked and to learn CPR. Sadly, only 1 in 2 Australians know how to do CPR.
I'm fascinated by that stat, Andrew, because when I was growing up, it was absolutely imperative that every child at school learn CPR. We did it. We did it. It was part of our curriculum. It was part of our school program, and we did it. Everybody got a chance to understand it. But I'm really excited about the fact that you've got the Victor Chang Cardiac Research Institute supporting you with these heart health testing tents, which I think are a fantastic initiative. So well done to that.
We will have 3 players that have survived heart attacks on the pitch on the night, which is fantastic. And you talk about Victor Chang, I'm blessed that now the former Chief Operating Officer Victor Chang and more recently CEO of Chris O'Brien Lifehouse, which is a wonderful charity. Tim Duggan has joined our board in the last couple of weeks. So we're blessed to have some good people supporting us. We survive on the back of fundraising. I have no government funding, no big corporate backer, but good individuals in the landscape out there that continue to support us. And there's going to be a very, very special commemorative gift that everyone will have. And, George, you'll be front and centre. I'll make sure you get 2 commemorative gifts. But I'm not sure how you're going to pack them on the plane. Yeah, that's the only thing I'll give away. That's the only giveaway.
Thanks very much for that. My wife will look at me and she'll go, what are you doing? What are you bringing home? Listen, if anyone wants to get to join us, as you said, there are 15 tickets left. What should they do? Reach out to your website?
They can contact me direct if they like. Andy@heartbeaterfootball.com.au is the email address. We do have, you know, Johnny Didlitz and a few others from Victoria coming. I will be doing an NSL reunion in Melbourne in 2020. The interest for this is fantastic because I did have a Melbourne launch for the charity 3 years ago and we had 120 people, but what I do know is that people can't stop talking about those golden days of South Melbourne Hellas and Melbourne Croatia and Sydney Croatia and Olympic and Marconi and Adelaide
and all those great clubs.
Perth Glory. We had some classic grand finals over the years.
I'm reminded as you're speaking and talking about those great days, there were discussions held today, and this is intriguing. On the very day we talk about the wonderful old days, I've noticed that Football Federation Australia has come out and they've engineered an opportunity, and it looks like, exciting to hear, that the National Second Division Working Group has released officially now its recommendations for a National Second Division. The date that they've set is I think it's season 21-22, they're saying. It'll be the second division. That's what they want to establish. If you actually want to know more, we've just got it down on our website, Andy, on FNR. Check it out. This is what it means for football in Australia. It means the game coming together. It means all those who've been on the outside for far too long, way too long, have no more excuses. Get in there, roll your sleeves up, and if you want your club to play in the biggest leagues in the country, all you've got to do is what we've done for a lifetime, and that is win your way there.
Look, it's brilliant.
Isn't that exciting?
We mustn't forget, particularly foundation clubs, those old clubs that we see in the NPL competitions. And I must say, I've been to a few games in Victoria in recent years, and I've really enjoyed the quality and standard. And you get to see what they can do when they play in the FFA Cup. And I just can't forget what those clubs, particularly, you know, a lot of these clubs were put together by immigrants after the Second World War, and you look at the production line that they have delivered. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. You could be at your Preston, Heidelbergs, Olympic, Melbourne, Croatia, Sydney, Adelaide. It doesn't matter. The thing
we had Claudio Lucchesi in the studio just last week talking on the Preston Club Show, The Lion's Den, and Josh Parrish, one of our presenters, was telling me not only were the stories great on air, but the stories off air were even better.
Off air.
And I said to him, come on, Josh, those stories, if it was Andy Pascaletti's, those stories would have been on air.
who knows what we could have put on there, but at least you know when you're in Sydney next week, you'll be able to say whatever you wish. Although there is talk now of live streaming. I've got 2 cameramen working the night.
Oh, that's exciting.
So, Yeah, one focusing on you and the panelists on stage so we can present on the big screen and right. then filming cutaways and everything else. We want to make a nice little YouTube video out of this that we can have for many years to come and reflect on. And there's going to be a few surprises on the night, George. I'll bring up the speed.
You've given me two clues. You've told me that Rally Rasic will be there. That in itself is fantastic. The man is something special, and what he did.
What he did was magnificent. Now, I'll tease you now.
Go on, tease me.
It's a no-brainer. The first panel with you on stage must be Arok, Scheinflug and Rasic.
Oh,
how amazing.
It will be amazing. Right. It will be
and
amazing.
And then I've got eight other players to pick from for a panel of four, and I'm my head spinning when I've got Charlie Yankos's and Foster's and everyone else. I think I should keep... Oh, Zeljko Kalac has just confirmed with Ante Kovac.
Wow.
I'll speak to you.
Wow.
Andy, is there room for Spider and me?
Well,
okay,
fantastic.
I'm going to knock back two soccer and golf people.
No, of course
there is.
By the way, you were talking about the history and the great clubs that have made football the sport it is in this country and has allowed us to see some great footballers come through their livery. I'm reminded that we're catching up with John Connors, who's the president of the Northern New South Wales NPL club, Adamstown Rosebud. Guess what's happening there this Saturday, Andy? The club, the players and the members, yep, are going to celebrate a very special anniversary. How many years do you think they're marking on Saturday?
Ooh, I would say that'd be one of the oldest clubs in the country.
Correct.
Because that's an area that was so strong with immigrants from, yep. you know, England, Scotland and the rest.
You're good, mate. You're good.
I would say, are we talking 120 years?
Oh, you're good.
Very close.
130, legend.
Okay. It was around there.
Yeah.
Look, they're a famous, famous club. Oh, everyone talks football in Newcastle.
Well, they've got a huge gala Saturday. Second oldest club in Newcastle, founded 1889. The actual anniversary is the 12th of July, but I think in order to get needed to get up the line, it's happening this Saturday. So, sensational. We're going to catch up with John and have a chat and see what it means.
Beautiful.
But you're right. You're very, very close. 120. Pretty good guess, Andy.
You know what? You might want to do a little trivia quiz on that preceding interview to ask how many players from that club went on to play either National League or for Australia.
Louise will ask that question of John. Very good. Very good, Andrew. Not a problem at all.
By the way, George,
on the night, we're going to have so many older and more mature footballing types at this special reunion in Sydney. I'm just reminded, should we have a health testing kit or a tent set up to scare some people back to fitness?
You must be reading all my emails to and from the club. We actually had an event meeting with Karen Greger, who was the first female administrator in the National League.
Yep.
She's on my board as well. Now, I said to her, would it be appropriate to have our heart health testing done on the night, but not just for the people in the venue, but also for club members?
Gee.
We felt that if we had that happening, it might take away from what we really want to do on stage and with all the iconic players and coaches.
Can we do it before they get into the actual area? Before we open
luck.
The doors?
Their entry ticket.
Outside George, the
luck.
Foyer. Good luck.
It's going to be like the Logies. You know, people will want to catch up once
they see faces
they haven't seen. I mean, Scott Olenshaw bought a table.
Do you remember
he's coming from Borneo.
Do you remember? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we did the Marconi fabulous reunion for their Team of the Century?
Awesome night.
Fantastic night. But the point I'm making is, do you remember all the noise and energy and the storytelling that went on before the doors opened officially?
Oh, It was
off the charts.
We even looked at trying to grab all those trophies out of that wonderful cabinet to have them on display.
Yeah, Tony Labuzeta wouldn't let it happen.
Well, he's coming.
He's coming.
He's coming with Bertie Mariani and Paul Oakhorn and Les Schoenfeld. We're trying to get Raoul Blanco to come at the moment.
And you have Scheinflug, you'll have half of the successful Prague side of the 60s and 70s.
Oh, it's insane. St. George have got three tables.
Is Gary Manuel coming?
No, but David Ratcliffe and all that crew from those years, you know, Craig Moffat, Grabowski, Rick Hoy, all those guys.
Awesome stuff.
George in the 80s.
All right, let's remind everyone again, it's a very special event. It's in support of Heartbeat of Football. It's happening in Sydney on the 29th, which is not this week, next week. It's happening on the Saturday night at the Canterbury Hurlston Park RSL, and it should be fantastic. We'd love you all to get involved. I think there are about, as Andy said, 15 tickets, maybe 13 tickets and counting down as we speak. But
yeah, we lost.
Nothing more exciting to know that the work that you've put in will reap a capacity audience. That'll be special.
Andy, yeah, we've just had someone come through on our Facebook Live. Greg is saying, live stream through Australian football before the A-League. Is it possible?
Get him to PM me and I'll put... I've got a social media guru.
he'll make it happen.
We're doing something that's not been done on the night. I don't want to give it away.
No. We've got a bunch of hashtags we're working, Andy. What is it? Hashtag HOV, which is Heartbeat of Football. We've got hashtag 2019 NSL Reunion. We've got hashtag National Soccer League. We've got hashtag old football meets new football. hashtag NSL legends. Hashtag Socceroos. Hashtag get a checkup. And I love the last one. Hashtag heart health awareness.
Yeah.
So you've covered all the bases, my friend.
Yeah.
How could I say no to you? Come on.
I appreciate it. I've got to say New South Wales. We lost 15 players between 2014-16.
One's too many, mate.
But since then, we've lost 3 and saved 14.
Oh, that's a huge tribute to everyone involved.
And sadly, the most recent was less than a month ago at South Cardiff in the Newcastle area. A former policeman, a great community man. But, you know, I did a fundraiser last weekend for the foundation set up in the memory of an 11-year-old who had cardiomyopathy, which is what Kiki Normov was forced to retire from. Yep. And we raised so much money. And what I loved about this foundation is they're putting it back into the community for kids that can't afford to play football or to learn to swim or to learn to play music. Or there's a bullying program because the son was always defending people that got bullied. And how do you say no to that? You know,
no, you don't. You get on board. You jump on board. Yeah. I'm an ambassador with Bully Zero. And the job they do is fantastic. But as I'm reminded time and time again, every time we allow a bully to get away with it, we're enabling them. So we've got to stand up and help those that are being bullied and say, hey,
exactly,
you can stop that right now. Andy Pasquale,
totally,
thank you for joining us, mate. It's been fantastic.
Thank you, George. Thank you, Louise. Keep up the good work, Louise. Loving your work.
Thank you.
More importantly, look forward to seeing you in Sydney the 29th of June, huh?
I've got to send you your flight details too. Sorry, champ. I'll do that tonight.
When you're ready, in due course. All the best. Ciao.
Ciao, mate. Bye-bye.
Andy.
If you hadn't worked it out, that's Andy Pasqualides. We'll get back to what you were talking about, the Women's World Cup, very shortly. But let's take a break. Let's reset and remind once again anyone who wants to know a little bit more about this special NSL reunion happening in Sydney. It's the 29th of June, and it'll be a very special event.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
That's the platform. George Danikian along with Louise Taffer. We've been talking to Andy Pasqualides. We talked about a fantastic NSL reunion coming up in Sydney.
Sounds exciting.
And more importantly, we got a chance to talk about not only reunions but anniversaries and some great characters who've played the game, which segues beautifully now because our next guest on FNR is the president of the Northern New South Wales MPL Club, Adamstown Rosebud. His name is John Connors. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you? Welcome
Very
to
well,
FNR.
Thank you for inviting me.
This Saturday, the club, its players and the members get to celebrate a very special anniversary. Tell us about it.
Yes, this Saturday, the 22nd of June, we're celebrating, we're having our 130th anniversary gala ball.
130
years. Yes.
That's extraordinary.
Yep. It is. We're the second oldest club in Newcastle. And
so who's the oldest, John? Who's the oldest?
Wall's End.
And how many years did they knock you over from
2 years?
Two.
So they're 132 years old, and you're 130. This year?
Yes, it'll be 130 on the 12th of July.
Okay, that's so that's the actual anniversary.
130 years old.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just 1889, one of the great old clubs, and indeed the fact that they've remained together, the fact that they've remained strong and that they've produced some great players over the years and they've played some great football over the years, that's a tribute to everybody involved, John. Are there a great many older and more mature members coming and being part of the anniversary?
Yes, Ray Bartz and Cole
Curran.
You're
joking.
Will be the two main ones, and they are still involved in the club not in a big way, but they do pop their heads in.
John, can I ask a very simple question? How old are you?
57.
Well, you're a little bit younger than I am. I can remember Ray Bartz when he was so special. There were many at Manchester United who wanted to keep him in England when he went over there with the Socceroos. He was that special a footballer. Mm. He couldn't be anything. And, of course, injury cut short what was a magnificent career. But that's some sort of legacy that's come out of the club. Ray Bartz, who else is going to be there? Yep. Tell me.
We've got Mark Jones, who's a former Newcastle Jets coach, and he's flown all the way up from Perth.
Fantastic.
We have Neville Power, who's a very well-known Newcastle sports person. He holds a record at the moment for 5 premierships in a row in the First Division back in the late 80s, early 90s. And we have Joe Sankowski, who's also a former Australian player.
He played with
Kobe and Knight and Sydney Olympic.
Wow.
And we've also have the luxury of having Andy Harper attend.
Is Andy going to be MC?
No, Andy's just going to sit back and enjoy himself.
Oh, well, that's dangerous, let me just tell you. Now, by the way, have you got any souvlaki there? Because he loves souvlaki.
Well, there is a five-hour bar tab, so...
Oh, no.
But he may have to pay for that, I think.
Good stuff. Great idea. Now, tell me, aside from asking you, what does it mean to the club and to everyone involved... I want to ask you about something that you guys have set up for the Sunday, I think. It's the 13th of July.
The Saturday.
Is that a Saturday the 13th?
Saturday.
Is that a match against another one of the older clubs in northern New South Wales? Who are you actually playing?
We're playing Edgeworth Eagles.
So Edgeworth Eagles, who've done pretty well in the FFA Cup recently.
Yes, they have, and they're the quality side.
They've been around 100 years.
Yep.
You've got them covered.
We have. I just have we haven't covered on the day.
Come on, you guys have got to do your homework. Have you got some scouts out there working out who you're going to play?
Sorry?
Have you got any scouts monitoring the Eagles?
Oh, look, they're a very classy side. They've got Josh Rose and Daniel McBreen playing for them.
So, oh, gee. You know, Breeny, it should be special. Louise has got a question for you, John.
Yes.
What has been the highlight for you over the years?
I've been at the club for going on 6 years. I come to the club when they first got promoted back into the top division as a coach from another club. I think our best attribute is the way we treat our youth and the way we train our youth. We're very youth orientated.
Yeah.
I know that this is the senior teams are the ones that take your places, but we have a very good program for our youth, and it's well respected up here. And it's starting to show now because our under 18s and under 20s are both leading the comp. Our first grader in the bottom half of the table, but the majority of those 18s and 20s players. Are boys that have started 6 years ago on the 13s.
Uh-huh. So you're bringing them through as a crop.
Yep.
A very special
and
crop.
And the 13s, 14s, 15s and 16s, the youth, they're all in the, if not the top four, they're in the top six.
Pardon my ignorance, do you have a women's team and a group of players, creating their own energy, or do you don't have a women's team?
There's a women's team called Adamstown Rosebud Junior Football Club.
Are they associated with you in any way?
We're not
directly
Adamstown Rosebud Football Club, and they're a different entity. But they use our facilities. We intermingle with them, and we do a lot of stuff with the women.
Fantastic.
They've also got junior players, but it's mainly the women play out of our oval as well. We encourage them to come and train on at our facilities. So we do have a close relationship, and it's getting better.
There
was a bit of
stuff.
A time there that was they were parted, but yes, we're all coming under one roof now.
And over the course of 130 years, how many players went on to play for Australia? Do you know?
28.
Yeah, he's done his homework. 28.
Yes.
That's not bad, eh?
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
No. Yeah, it is. It's it's going back to quite a long time ago, and I think it's been on a regular basis up until about the Cole Curran, Ray Barts era.
Yep.
But in saying that, we still have had Graham Jennings was another one.
I remember Graham Jennings when he came down and played for Sydney Olympic. Yep. And also played for Australia. He was a terrific, a flashy, fantastic winger, come fullback. He could do everything. And when he crossed the ball, it was almost on a sixpence he could land it.
And that was his nickname, Flash.
That's right. That's exactly right. Oh, no. Will Flash be there?
He's not too well at the moment.
Oh, well, that's sad to hear.
Yes, it is.
Would you please pass on our best wishes to the man known as Flash, Graham Jennings? Because he's been an ornament to the game, and also to his many fans. He was a super exciting player to watch.
No, he was, and to credit to the man, they've named the Northern New South Wales NPL Player of the Year award.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's a great honour. That's a great honour.
Yeah.
We're talking to John Connors, who's the president of the Northern New South Wales NPL Club, Adamstown Rosebud. And if you think he's been sounding pretty proud and pretty excited, he should be on both counts. Very special night coming up. It's Saturday. This Saturday, the club is marking 130 years of its existence. That's a very, very special evening. We wish you a seamless one. I hope you get to tell many stories. Please do us a favour. Take some great photos and send them through, post them through. We'll put them on the website, the FNR website. All right?
No, I certainly will.
Thank you once again, John, for taking
thank you
our
much
call.
For your time.
And again, happy anniversary to Adamstown Rosebud.
Thank you very much, and enjoy your program, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Pleasure, John
Thank
Connors.
You, thank you.
Isn't that good?
Good night.
130 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Older than us combined.
Well, I wasn't going to mention that, but you're probably 100% right. They got it covered. Oh,
that's
thanks very
that's
much.
Remarkable.
Make
well
me
done.
Feel, how old do you make me feel now?
You're young compared to that.
Yeah. Actually, we wouldn't even get to the century.
No.
Combined. Maybe we need Josh Parrish to come and just get us over the line. What do you reckon?
What about you and my grandmother? You'd get over the line. Oh, my grandmother's nearly 97.
I'm not thinking. Grandma, I love her dearly. She's 95 or 6.
97, nearly.
97.
In a couple
we'd
of months.
We'd break the bank. With your grandmother and me, we'd break the bank. We'd cover 130, no worries at all.
Oh, well, you don't look a day.
Josh Parrish, who was sitting in the studio the other end there, I could see him through the window, the image that you struck then, he nearly fainted. So, well done, Louise. You've just gone to the top of the class.
Well, there you go.
Okay. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll tidy up what we've done over the last hour and remind you of what's still to come on FNR.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Evenings on FNR, Louise Taffer with George Denikian.
That's
joining
me
here in the studio. George is the host for tonight. I'm taking a little bit
of... Do you like my hat?
I do.
See, I normally wouldn't address the fact that I'm wearing a hat, but now that there's a camera there, people go, who's the guy with the hat? That's me.
You got a cold head. I've got a beanie.
It's freezing out there.
It is.
By the way, I know we stream across Australia and across the world. If you are visiting or likely to visit Melbourne in the foreseeable future, make sure you rug up. I remember the first time I came to Melbourne, straight from Sydney. I came down on a weekend to do a couple of little things. I'd never been before, and it was so cold. The first thing I did, went to David Jones on the Saturday morning.
Bought some gloves?
I bought a pair of gloves. I bought a scarf, a jacket, and another jumper. It was, for a Sydney boy, it was a shock.
It was crisp this morning, but quite nice. 5 degrees.
It's not crisp out there now.
That.
It's icy.
It's nice.
So drive carefully. And if you're on a bike, I feel for you. Whether it's a motorbike or a push bike, I feel for you. Let's get back to the football.
We don't feel for everyone in France because it's nice weather over there.
Oh, yeah.
They're tanning.
Yeah. And by the way, the Matildas starting to put together some interesting moves. And as you touched on just before we went to air, if only we can get that defensive setup right and in the midfield a little bit stronger.
A couple
stronger.
Of components.
I thought Katrina Gorrie was good.
Yes. We haven't seen Katrina for quite some time.
But when she's playing against 11-foot Jamaicans who want to just push her over, I think the referees have got to protect them a little bit. I thought we were easily pushed off the ball. So how are we going to play against Norway?
It's going to be interesting against Norway. I thought Norway had, you know, one of their better games in the group stage against France, the hosts.
Yeah, yeah.
So
what was the score? What was the final score?
Off the top of my head.
Because the French side has started the competition off. It was 2-1.
2-1,
but,
yeah.
The competition, you know, was started in emphatic fashion by a home side that really wanted to excite the fans, and they certainly did, and they've been doing it for much of the competition. Now it gets really interesting because this is the elimination stage, is it not?
That's exactly right. Cool. So you can't take any opponent lightly,
no matter
if they're ranked, you know, 15th or 20th.
No, you
have to take it quite seriously.
So who,
and Ante Milicic,
who do we hear from the Matildas?
Ante Milicic has said they need to fix some things before they get to the game.
Yep.
And we heard from Emily Gilnick.
I tell you what, Emily, if she can just use some of that size, she's a big woman. And she's got to assert herself like we saw some of the Jamaican girls do. And she could really make an impact. So here's Emily, what she had to say.
She's on the beach.
Oh, please.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, it's nice to get that, be a part of that opening goal. And, you know, as everyone knows, Sammy's always running into the box there. So it's highly unlikely that she's not going to get on the end of, you know, somebody's cross. Yeah, because of the late game, it's been quite a long day. A few people with some tired eyes and not much sleep, but we've been fortunate enough to have our own little private charter plane, and we're here in this beautiful area here. It's nice to have some sunshine and the beach close by. We're all beach babies at the end of the day, and we're back in our natural habitat, you could say. So everyone's, you know, super excited, and there's a lot more positivity in the air, and everyone's smiling.
Norway on Saturday. You actually spent a season playing in Norway in the league in 2017. What are your memories of playing in the competition in Norway?
Yeah, look, it wasn't too long ago, to be honest, and I'm quite familiar with their style of play and some of their players, and played against some of their players in the league. And, you know, they're not a bad team. They're quite tidy. And so to give them a bit of credit, but also to us, I think we're a better team, and we just need to make sure that, you know, it's not one of those World Cup upsets. Definitely. I know they're going to be doing endless hours of footage and some screen time, knowing those stuff. But, yeah, the main thing for us, I think, is recovery, the short turnaround, the flight, being in a new area. So just massive recovery time. We'll be on the pitch tomorrow, and then before you know it, it'll be match day minus one, and then we'll be playing. Chloe and I especially, and Gemma actually as well, we've played against some of those players, and Tamika has been in the team with some of those players. So, you know, it's a little bit of an advantage knowing that we know them and know their style of play, and hopefully we can help out the coaching staff in some regards to that. But at the end of the day, it's just going to be the team who wants it more, I think.
Emily Gilnick there speaking about the upcoming fixture against Norway. And she mentioned Tamika Yallop. She plays in Norway, so she would know. She'd have a pretty firm grasp of the form of all of the players that they're going to be up against. So I think we have the opportunity to know what we are facing, then prepare accordingly. And all we've then got to do, and this is the hardest thing in the world, toss all the anxiety out the door and just play. Just play, react, and not overthink it. And again, as I touched on a moment ago, that's a lot easier said than done.
It is, especially when you look at the Scotland-Argentina game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't want to look at that game.
It is so amazing.
That's yesterday. We're going to go to Saturday. This
but
is
it's
the
so
game.
Amazing how it can just change in the blink of an eye.
Look,
that's football. Football can be cruel.
Football is a very, very cruel. Look, any sport is cruel if you have the momentum and you create the opportunities and you don't put them away. Whatever sport that is, whether it's tennis, whether it's baseball, whether it's, you know, any form of the other football codes, if you have the momentum and you don't create or convert, you stand condemned when the ball comes the other way and the momentum shifts.
And speaking of the ball, we're just going to quickly shift now before we wrap up the show, George.
Yeah, go on.
Because we did hear from a couple of FFA's executives.
Yes, we did, because they're all talking about this...
National Second Division.
Yes, there was the National Second Division Working Group. They met with the FFA. They've released the recommendations, and they're saying that a National Second Division is on the cards, and the date they've reported and they've recommended is for season 2021-2022. So this is the time scale that they've all offered for the establishment of the second tier. It's seriously exciting. This is what some of the key characters. One,
Remo Nogarotto.
And he Remo, ex-ASF, so Australian Soccer Federation leader. He knows the old hierarchy. He knows some of the challenges that the second tier will have to face, the tyranny of distance, the budgets they'll have to come up with, and making football affordable. So this is what Remo had to say a little earlier this afternoon.
I've basically broken it down into two very clear windows, the 0 to 5 year window, which is the window which allows these national second division clubs to get their economic footing in place, be able to deliver a sustainable business model. It's not just about a sustainable football model. It's about a sustainable business model. That first 5 year window is their incubation window. If some of them want to step up and put their hand up, for A-League expansion, all well and good, I say. The 5 to 10 year window is where we have a realistic conversation about the more difficult subjects around promotion and relegation above, and obviously promotion and relegation from below, because the idea here is to open it up not just above but from below. But there's a large slab of the pyramid that needs to be addressed. And our view is that the National Second Division is an important part of that pyramid. Grows the pie, grows the market share of the game vis-a-vis other football codes, increases the level of interest in the game, and brings back from the cold people perhaps that have felt marginalised in the last few years. If ever there is a football code that can make a national second division work, it's ours. Because a second tier competition is part of the football DNA everywhere in the world. Now, it's nice to say that because you still have the economic challenge. I think the economic challenge is significant, but I know I am up for the challenge. I know Rabbi's up for the challenge. To try to find an economic model that works. If we can make this work, we finally delineate our game unambiguously from every other national football code in the country. And I think we can jettison forever the whole idea of Me Tooism and create our own DNA and culture.
Exciting stuff if they can get it right. And they're talking about some conditions that must be met, and that is the minimum of under 21-year-olds playing, the minimum of under 23-year-olds playing, and just how many foreigners they can all have in. And each club must have a ground that can hold anywhere between 5,000 to 15,000. So, again, everything is manageable. Just got to make it happen. You had something to say. What was that, Miss Louise?
Goodbye.
Why not? We'll catch you next week.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.